Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the JockX podcast. My name is James O'Connor and today's special guest is James Schramko. Now I'm super excited to have him on the show. He comes to us from his own company, Superfast Business, where he is world renowned in an online business and marketing expert, helping thousands of people take their games online, their businesses to a new level to achieve more profit and more overall success. Super excited to have him on the show and really discuss some cool things about how he went from, you know, earning around 300 grand in a management role for Mercedes-Benz to deciding to start his own online business about 10 years ago. And how he did that and the things he did, the strategies he took, and how us as listeners can really learn from and really apply to ourselves and help us achieve more in this sort of space. So super exciting. And you know, he really lives a really cool lifestyle as well, which he's really passionate about, making sure he has a saying where, you know, some people tell him that he might be leaving the money on the table, but in fact, he believes some people leave life on the table. And I thought that was a real cool quote that came through. Really sums up the guy, because you know, he's a bit of a surfer, loves to get out there each day and hit the waves down there in Manly Beach in Sydney. And you know, really just a cool all-round guy, and you know, super impressive, and really travels around the globe and does his thing in the marketing and business space. So super excited. Now guys, this is one you're definitely going to want to share with your friends, particularly who are in the business space and really got some online businesses and want to take them to the next level. This is your man to learn from. And also guys, if you're just really wanting to make a career change or learn from a guy who's really successful, like he's earning over 100 grand a month now through his online businesses and web developing and those types of things. So he's an absolute star. Really lucky to have him on the show. Make sure you tell your friends and family about this one, and obviously share it on your Twitter and Facebook and so forth, and really let them know about this episode and James Schramko. So enjoy, whether you're sitting in your car and you're stuck in traffic, or you're cooking dinner, or you're cleaning the house, or you're just at the gym lifting some metal. This one's for you guys to help you take your game to the next level. So enjoy episode 29 with myself, James O'Connor, and guest James Schramko. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Excited to have you on and get you your time. So I really appreciate that. I'd really love to start there, James, with your background and to where you got to today and what you're doing now.
Right, so background. I used to run Mercedes-Benz dealerships as a general manager in my last job, which was about 8 years ago at time of recording. And I went from that to running my own business, but I did start that actually 10 years ago. So there was a bit of an overlap period there, and I'm sure that will be an interesting discussion, going from employee to business owner.
For sure.
And these days, my business looks like predominantly online business, but we do have an annual live event, and we coach business owners on how to get better results from their online marketing channel. So different types of businesses, but the thing they have in common is they want to market it online, and I help them get more profit from their business. And as little side units, we have a website development division. So we build WordPress websites, and we also do search engine optimization services. So if you combine those things, that is pretty much what Superfast Business looks like at this stage.
Yeah, awesome. So you're sort of really covering a lot, obviously, on the online platform, and with obviously such a main thing today and the way business is going, obviously, all online. But I'd really love to start, James, exciting with your transition from, like you said, Mercedes-Benz to online world, and now running a super successful business now. That happened, you started to make the change about 10 years ago. Tell me about the process of making that transition, because you're up in a manager role, making, I guess, good money in terms of employment. Tell me about your mindset through that stage and sort of the key things you did to make that happen and the transition to happen successfully.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, I had a good wage. It was on about $300,000, and I had a nice Mercedes-Benz to drive, and so did my wife. So we had a good setup. And for a lot of people, mindset-wise, they think that's the pinnacle, the top of the mountain. but there was nowhere else for me to go because I either became a partner in the business, which was not going to happen because there was many family members as shareholders, or I got my own business because I realized that I was actually really limiting myself. It sounds weird if you're not earning $300,000, that might seem strange, but I'd been exposed to some people who were making a lot more than that. In particular, my customers, the people buying Mercedes-Benz, often had their own business. And sometimes when I was filling in for the finance manager, I got to see the balance sheets and their income statements, and I realized that I was playing a pretty small game on a salary. So I got the idea that I needed to have my own business. There were many advantages to that, and a few disadvantages. The main disadvantage is you're not guaranteed a profit, which you are as an employee. Yeah. But the advantage is you get paid by lots of different people. So you have a bit more protection against this single source dependency. You know, if the relationship doesn't work out or your role's no longer required, of course, you could be left holding a mortgage and no immediate replacement income. So I felt risky. And I felt that having a business would give me more security. Plus, there's other things too. Like I wanted to be able to get paid first and then pay my tax later rather than have it taken out in advance. So I wasn't getting any benefit for that. And I also wanted to create more value. I wanted to be able to reach more people in more markets and look at different products rather than just have the one thing that I can sell locally. So these were the sort of mindset factors that came into it. So I ended up getting to a mental position where my job was about the most dangerous thing I could possibly do, and the salvation was to develop a business for myself that I could step into. There were a couple of attempts to get my own business where customers actually offered me 50% share in their business to come on board and to run it. And I got my company formed that way, and I got some legal advice, which was very expensive, and accounting advice for when I was on a wage. I had to spend thousands and thousands to do my due diligence and check contracts. And in the end, the deal didn't go ahead. So I was kind of left with infrastructure and an ambition, but no actual business. And that's what I had to sort of chip away at all by myself for a while there.
Yeah. So when's this happened? Is this like through what, 2006, or what sort of period is this coming over?
Exactly. I registered my first domain at the, in fact, almost a month from now, 10 years ago. So about 10 years ago, I was investigating this possibility of online marketing, registering a domain and trying to build a website. Which was quite an elusive thing, as it turned out. It was very difficult.
Yes.
You know, with dial-up modem and yep. a cable that stretched to the telephone socket and laptop on my knees. I would try and build a website after work while the family's watching TV. And I spent a lot of late nights struggling with things that I had no idea about. I mean, the amount of stuff I didn't know was frightening. But I had a lot of confidence that I could learn it because I'm pretty persistent. And I was of at least average intelligence and had a good work ethic. So I figured that if other people could do it, it's really just a matter of finding the right approach.
Mm, for sure. So from the moment you decided you wanted to have your own business, obviously in at 05, how long did it take for you to get commercially successful enough to sort of replace your income and have an online business that enabled you to do it full time?
Well, commercially successful to replace my wage took about 2.5 years. To generate $100,000 took me about 18 months. So it depends on at what point you can step off.
Yeah.
As to, you know, what you would determine to be financially successful. But the first 9 months, I recall, were particularly slow until I made a commission. And then I was able to start stacking successes on top of each other. I went from that $150 a month 1 month to $150 to $300 or $400 to $500 to $700 to $1,000 to $1,500 to $3,500 to $5,000 to $6,000. I sort of got stuck there, and then I was able to go to $10,000. And then I got stuck there, and then I was able to double that into the 20s, and then that was the cut point, and it took 2.5 years.
Yeah, wow. Obviously, you are coaching so many people now. You have a part of your business and you see it every day of the week. Many people try and make this transition from their employment to the business that they're creating on the side and wanting to go full-time. What are some of the key pitfalls that you see that people get in trouble with and force them not to be successful in this transition period?
Personal skills. Most people are just spending time on Facebook and opening emails up. They're consuming and constantly devouring new stuff, and they're not creating. They're not actually working on finding an offer that converts. They're wasting time.
Yeah, for sure. And what else would be the big pitfalls?
Well, that's enough of a pitfall to stop people from ever getting successful. But if they knew what to do and they just did it, then they could save themselves a lot of pain. But I think it's far more exciting to be distracted by new stuff than to actually do the hard work. So doing the wrong thing is certainly up there, like following the wrong model. And there's any number of charlatans who will happily sell you something that doesn't even actually work. And a lot of people will never even know that because they don't implement. And people get some kind of dopamine release when they purchase a course for a couple of $1,000s because they sort of think they've done something that is moving them further towards success. But if they don't actually consume it, if they don't open it or read it or implement it, then it turns into a credit card debt that's eating away at them, and then they get all this pressure from their spouse or partners and friends saying, you know, spend all this time and all this money and you're not getting any results. And then this cycle of desperation and frustration kicks in, and they just keep plowing back through the inbox looking for the next secret, the next thing that will give them the magical holy grail. And marketers are very tuned into creating that feeling, but people have to step aside from that. So as soon as you can take control of yourself and get your own brain back and engage it productively, that's when you can start making real progress.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, in all, in your time from going from Mercedes-Benz to online, you know, it took a decent amount of time, but now obviously you're hugely gone further than having a wage of $300,000, which is, you know, really inspiring for so many people listening to this podcast, and obviously all the people who follow you as well. I really actually want to sort of change now and go into what your sort of day looks like. I know you're massive on lifestyle and creating the life that you really want. If you could give the listeners a idea of what your average day would look like, and also I'd love to hear about your morning routine, if you have a specific routine that you do each day.
Sure. Well, I generally wake up with the sun, so 6 or 7 or 8, depending on what time of the year it is. And I carefully get out of bed. I'm getting a bit old and I've got creaky bones. So I get out of bed carefully. I'll drink a glass of water and I'll usually use a foam roller just to straighten out my neck and back. And that's really, really good. One of my clients showed me how to do that. It was very good. It's kind of like doing yoga or some other stretching, but much more effective.
Yeah, okay.
Then I'll have a coffee. And I've got a really nice machine here. I love my coffee. I grind the beans on the spot, etc. And I'll have some breakfast, which would be, an omelette or bacon, or else just a cereal with some protein powder and a banana. And I'll usually be surveying the surf conditions with my binoculars. And I'll check on the app what the tide is and the forecast for the day. Usually I'll go for a surf then, sort of a morning thing. And then I'll come back. And often I will check emails or create a piece of content, and then I'll go out for lunch, and then I'll come back and I might either have another surf or I might even have a sleep after lunch if I feel a bit tired, and then I'll do some more productive work in that afternoon phase between sort of 3 and 6. And generally that's when I'll finish. I'll either watch a World Surfing League contest or a movie and have dinner, and then I'll be in bed, probably reading prior to that, and then I'll be asleep by 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I think that's an incredibly amazing lifestyle. For me personally, it's exactly down where I'd love to get to. I'm a bit of a surf myself, but I must admit, living in Melbourne, the bay doesn't produce too many waves, but got it down the coast a bit. But I think that's really exciting for listeners to hear. And it's amazing because you're reaching so many people and doing so much. And I just know from researching you, you've got so much automated. And I'd love to hear your... I know you speak about effective hours in terms of using your time. If you could talk to listeners about how you do that and the keys to, I guess, streamlining yourself and your business to maximize your time and your sort of hourly rate, I guess, in a way.
I lost you between you doing so much and hourly rate.
Oh, you're right. I was just saying, in regards to your business, everything's so streamlined. You've got so much people, you know, things automated for yourself and therefore giving you the time to, you know, have surf during the day. And if you look at in the past and years gone by, executives like achieving your sort of success will be working ridiculous hours. Let me talk to listeners, if you could talk to listeners about how some of the key things you've done to, you know, automate your business and maximize your time effectively and really utilize it as best you can.
Sure. Well, I mean, I know the stuff that I talk about seems like a long stretch for someone who's sort of double dealing with a day job and a night job. But I've been through that phase and I've done the hardest jobs possible, like mowing lawns and digging holes and unloading timber containers with wet softwood. I've done the hard jobs, so I certainly earned my stripes. But the sort of things that make a difference are over time building momentum in a few different ways. One is being clever about the way you package your services or your products. And I've focused heavily on recurring because I don't want to be looking for the next customer every day. I would like a recurring six-figure monthly income coming in, which has been the case for the last 4.5 years. I haven't had a month with less than $100,000 come in. And that's because my business is built on a recurring basis. So we sell subscriptions, and that is a great thing to do. So set up your business with the right strategy. The other thing is to have a team. If you don't want to do the job yourself, then you can actually hire someone else to do it. And at first, it's a bit of a mindset sort of struggle to pay someone to do something that you can do yourself. But I'd also say, you know, if you've ever been to a restaurant, you're already familiar with the concept. If you didn't prepare that meal or go out and source the goods or grow the things, if you actually just turned up somewhere and paid some money and got a meal put in front of you, then you already know this is true. And you can do that with many parts of your business. So what I'm dealing with now is momentum. I've got momentum with the subscription business model. I've got momentum with my team who are coming up on 6 years of employment. And we know the routines. We've set it all up. And really, it's like the metaphor that I use for my students is like building a railway system. We decided what platforms we want to go to, what our destinations will be. We cleared the path. We laid the girders. We set the tracks down. We shipped in an engine. We started shoveling coal, and then we got the thing running. And now we can just step on and off anytime we want. And that's how it should roll.
Mm. To get into that point, I guess, over the last 4 years, really producing, like you said, over 100 grand a month. With all your people, obviously, part of your membership and, you know, getting absolute huge value out of that, where do you see it going into the coming 5 years? What do you see as the big sort of next change, or do you feel the way you're sort of set up now is sort of how it's going to be?
It would be a mistake to think that what I'm doing now is what I'll be doing in 5 years, because that is like a long time in the online space.
Yeah.
If you think about it, 5 years ago, we weren't really worried about Facebook groups. So like when I started doing forums, there was no Facebook at all.
Yeah.
And then there's been Facebook groups have come along, which could be seen as a threat to people running forums. When I started with SEO, it was very, very easy to rank anything instantly. And the whole game has changed. Now it's a very human driven business with hand created content and research and carefully placed content. So it's actually work.
Mm-hmm.
So almost all of my competitors have disappeared off the face of the planet, and our business is become a little more difficult than it used to be when we had blog networks and tools to do the heavy lifting. So things changed dramatically. I mean, I used to run 21 servers and have 1,000 websites. Now I've got that down to a fraction of that, like 2 servers, and you know, just a few websites that we run our business from. So it's always changing, but the core things don't change. The recurring subscription focus, I imagine, will still be in play.
Yep.
I'll still be solving the needs and challenges of my customers,
yep.
But how I solve them or the platform that I solve them on might change. I imagine over time I will partition off the service businesses and get some value back for those and focus more on my coaching community because I get great results for students and because I'm catering more for the intermediate to advanced market. I'm finding a lot of joy from the people who get great results, and I'm constantly getting reminders of what great results people are getting. You know, when they go from $100,000 to $2.3 million a year in just a couple of years, that makes me excited. I feel valued that I'm able to contribute. I still enjoy podcasting, so I think I'll continue doing that as a primary content / traffic delivery mechanism. So I think the fundamentals will be in place. But here's the thing. I might be in a completely different market. I might have completely different customers, but I'll probably use my fundamental business skills to drive the business. And, you know, I expect in 5 years from now, I won't have the same things I have in place right now. But I do think that my core values won't have changed. And I do think that the business will snowball and become increasingly easier and more profitable as we get more and more experience and more confidence and more market awareness. You know, 10 years ago, no one knew who I was. And now, finally, only 10 years later, you know, people say nice things about me and invite me to events and to podcasts and give me good endorsements.
Yeah.
And I've never really asked for them. And I haven't been a hard pusher of my own success stories out there. I'm not running big ads and running webinars 3 times a day at this point. I'm just doing my job. I'm just creating stuff and letting the product speak for itself.
Yeah.
But it is a long game, and I think that's what people don't realize. You really have to imagine, is what you're doing right now compromising you for the 3 or 5 year version of yourself?
Yeah, for sure. And I think with you see this massive success by the young generation with the online content, I guess some people don't go in it for the long haul, I guess, because they want those instant successes because you hear of these, you know, millionaires in their 20s or earlier or so forth. So I love that you say it isn't for the long haul and it does take a while, which I think the younger generation can definitely keep in the forefront of their mind. Over the past 10 years, you've obviously seen, so like you said, some massive changes in the online space. What is the thing that's come out that's most blown you away? Like, obviously, when you started, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram, there was no, well, Facebook was obviously just sort of winding, getting going. What was the biggest thing that just sort of came out and surprised you how big it's become?
Well, probably Facebook is a stayer. I think that's become big, but it's become so pervasive that my parents are on it and my kids are on it. That means that the mainstream people, or the people in my industry especially, are 100% addicted to it, and they've now become so co-joined to it that they've actually started compromising their life. And I'm quite an advocate for people stepping away from technology for a bit and paying attention. I mean, they are literally getting sucked into a matrix that they have no awareness of. They are distracted. They are hyper-stimulated. They say and do the most stupid things on Facebook, and they don't think about it. I don't think they're aware of what a disease it's becoming for society. And that's the thing that I'm most aware of, especially now that I deliberately step away from my machine. And especially, as you know, as a surfer, when you go low tech and analog and you're not hooked to something and you're not on Wi-Fi and you're not reading a screen for an hour or two, it's really gives you that perspective to see what's going on in the society. And then as soon as you get back out of the water,
yeah.
whether it's people walking along the esplanade or sitting on the beach or at the cafe or crossing the road, all glued to their phone.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's most interesting. And then, of course, we have all these devices that people are voluntarily logging into and updating every single place they go and every single thing they buy. And I just wonder if they've thought it through.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's actually interesting. Last few months, obviously, my business is online as well. So you're not only doing it socially, but you've got your business that you're focusing on, Twitter, Facebook, your web pages, obviously. And it's interesting myself. I've definitely put in some rules in place. Like when I'm out with my partner, myself and her, like we make sure we put the technology in the car and don't bring it with us. And in the evenings, I don't have it with me, phone off me. And then obviously I'm a massive, as the listeners know, I'm massive on running and obviously surfing as well. So it's definitely times. I think it's a really good key point that you need to put it down. And I think you become obviously a lot more effective and don't get sucked into those instant gratification type content that is on those type of feeds.
And don't benchmark your life off someone else's feed, because they're showing you a very carefully curated version of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting from that, I do see the studies every now and then of people, feeling down about themselves and not getting in the right.
Depression, mental disease. I think 30% of society has some kind of mental disorder or suffers depression. And these tools just accelerate it. I notice people sometimes type jealous on a nice picture that I put up. And that made me think, wow, they're reacting to that in a way that I wouldn't react. If someone posts a picture of a brand new Ferrari they just picked up at a dealership, I'd be like, that's awesome. That's cool. You've just shown me that this is a possibility. I'm excited for you. You must be very pleased with this fantastic day where you get to experience something you've dreamt of your entire life. Good on you. Mm. But other people are like jealous.
Yep.
As if it's somehow somebody else's fault that they're not driving that Ferrari today, but the only person that they can point the finger to is themselves, because what they have now is a result of all of the decisions they've made up till that point and all the decisions that were made on their behalf. A friend of mine, Seth Ellsworth, talks about this concept when I was talking to him recently on a podcast, and I really like that conclusion, that if you're not happy with what you've got now, if you don't like the way things are, then step up and start redesigning your life. And you absolutely can. And I've made significant steps in my life where I've parted ways with my employer. I've done the same in some partnerships here and there. And by doing that, they're not easy things to do at the time, but they give you the next stage of your life. They hand it to you and here you go. That's like moving to the beach and surfing was such a huge change to my life. Can't imagine what life was like before that. And it's really good to think that this is in your own hands.
Yeah, for sure. No, I love that. And obviously that goes to show with your attitude, obviously the development you've done over the years, and that's why you're who you are today. But it's, I love it for listeners obviously as well. Like you can take a piece out of that and really obviously congratulate people. I'm sure when you see people succeeding, it's always first thought is, commending them on their great effort and, producing great work. But there is obviously a lot of people who aren't in that right sort of attitude and mindset that, there is a lot of obviously abundance out there and opportunity for everyone to succeed, I guess, and reach their goals. So, yeah, absolutely, for listeners, take key on James' point there. James, sort of coming towards the end of the interview, and I love having you on. We've got a few last few questions. If you could recommend three books to listeners to get their hands on that you sort of feel are must reads or ones you really enjoyed and hopefully help them take their game to the next level, whether it be in their business or even their sporting careers or some obviously in education as well.
That's so difficult. There's so many good books, but I do like Getting Everything You Can Out of All You Got by J. Abraham. That's definitely worth pursuing, that book.
Yep.
It really gives you some good insights into great basic business fundamentals that most businesses never know, which is a tremendous advantage. I also like Essentialism, I think, by Gary McKeon. And The One Thing. There's a couple of good books, but there's so many others, like The Rockefeller Habits, The 80-20 Principle by Kosh. So I encourage people to read as much as they possibly can, whether it's about Peter Drucker or Eli Goldratt. There's a lot of good business brains out there that have already solved all the problems, and you know, they put them into books and we can just access it for $10 or $20.
Yeah.
Instead of having to spend $3,000 on information products, I think books are a great investment in yourself. You're upscaling the software in your head.
Yeah, for sure. And absolutely, I'm a massive avid audiobook. I don't know about you, but I love the audiobooks too, and getting them in the car and having a listen to those. So definitely a couple. I'm going to have to get a hold of a couple of those, and listeners for sure going to have to check those out.
I don't really drive anywhere, but I can imagine if you're a runner, then the audiobook could be an easy way to consume.
Yeah, well, actually, on running, it's interesting. Like I said before, I'm very, I don't put anything in my ears. I just definitely want a quiet space, because I've always got people on the go sort of thing. So, but yeah, listeners, I'm sure they'll do it via running or, you know, cooking or whatever they're doing. So definitely get a hold of a few of those. James, what are sort of some of the mentors? I'm not sure if you have any current right now or what you call them. But who sort of has guided you over the last 10 years and you look up to and sort of, I guess, sort of would say they're your mentor?
I'm not really fast to name names in that regard. I don't really hero worship anyone in particular. I'm interested in people who are doing clever things, but a lot of the people that I admire are actually dead already. And when I was growing up, I really regarded my grandparents as good role models.
Yeah.
And my own parents. And certainly every bad boss that I ever had was a great teacher of worst practice that I would then just reverse and become a better leader.
Yep.
I like reading about people like Charlie Munger, who's Warren Buffett's right-hand man.
Yeah.
I like some of the things Peter Diamandis talks about, and Peter Thiel, Zero to One's a good book.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk is quite a big thinker. But then a lot of these people have huge flaws as well, whether it's Henry Ford or Steve Jobs. They often have such huge chinks in their personality or thing that I can't get to a godlike worship status for any of these people, because they're deeply flawed as well as deeply brilliant. So I take the good bits, I cherry pick, and I work really hard on not having those flaws in my own persona.
Yeah, for sure. I guess you...
I mean, a lot of them were outright tyrants.
Yeah. You take the classic example, I guess, of Steve Jobs, and I guess everyone knows who he is. And yeah, for sure, you read some of the stories about him, it's... He's got some amazing, incredible parts to his personality and what he could do, but there's definitely some parts that I'm sure you and me both definitely don't want to adopt.
Well, you know, it's interesting what people think is good or bad. I mean, I saw something recently where someone said, oh, this is so inspiring, and they posted a day in the life of video. Mm-hmm. And in the video, this guy's like waking up at 4 a.m. He's having like 10 meetings, he's drinking 7 coffees, he's in cars, planes, cars, meetings, he's in a suit, he gets home really late. And I was wondering, is this a parody? How could somebody find this inspiring? Inspiring on what level? So I really question why people are so admiring of all this hustle and workaholism. There's no other way to describe it. I mean, it's sheer and utter obsessive workaholism. And I've stepped away from that world. And I've got to tell you, I'd rather just have a surf and drink a coffee and read a book and do a podcast. For me, that's a perfect day. And for other people, they might think that that's not good, but I'm at that stage in life where I've achieved a lot of things that I wanted to do. I've traveled a lot. I've produced 4 kids. I'm ready just to kick back a little bit and extend my life and be healthy and very happy and improve my surfing ability. That's my main priority right now. I just want to be a better surfer.
Yeah, for sure. You'll have to get you down to Bells down here or something sometime soon. Just on that, it's interesting you talk about like that massive, you know, people sort of admire, inverted commas, those huge working hours. I guess, what are the key reasons behind that? Is that sort of from, I guess, a corporation or the owners, you know, over the decades sort of promoted that for their own benefit, I guess. If you've got your employees working like dogs, if you like, that they are getting the benefits of that ridiculous work rate. Is that, do you reckon, stem from? Or what was your view on how that sort of come about?
These aren't entrepreneurs. These are... So they're not employees, they're mostly entrepreneurs who are doing, you know, showing off with their impressive hours.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are driven by money. You hear the saying, you leave a lot of money on the table. Have you heard that saying?
Yeah, I have.
Well, I think people are leaving life on the table. You know, they're grabbing the money and surrendering their life. They're just giving it up. I don't understand it. I mean, I used to sit in an office in a building that I'd driven to and spend 12 hours a day building someone else's business and then drive home in the traffic. And I used to think, what is this madness? This is crazy. Doesn't make sense. Am I going to retire when I'm 65? And by that, I mean, I'll now have maybe just enough money to get by if I skimp on coffee every day or two. And I'm going to sit around the house and do nothing. That's not living. So what I found, which was an unexpected thing, in the beginning, of course, we're interested in money. You've got kids, you've got mortgages, you've got the desperate need to try and offset that credit card bill that's coming next month. And you're paid by this one wage, which you've already spent for the next few months in advance. I know how it feels. I've been there. But what I found when I was able to reconfigure things, especially the way that I... you know, move to my own business, the way that I was able to create more value for people on a recurring basis and then get some help with that from my team, what I was able to find that when I actually had money accumulating in my bank account and I had time accumulating in my calendar, other things became far more important, like eating and talking to people who I want to talk to and having proper relationships with people and actually taking the time to admire the ocean or to walk along the beach and feel the sand in your toes and to get out and about and go and visit other places, other countries and learn different cultures. That became more important than money. So I think a lot of people are stuck in that thing where they still need to have a lot of money so that they can get really impressive things so that people will think they're amazing because they've got a really low self-esteem. And probably it all comes back to they weren't cuddled enough when they were a kid by their mummy. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not like a psychiatrist, but I think the fact that I had a really good upbringing helped me a lot to avoid a lot of the emotional pitfalls that people seem to fall into. I think it probably is also related to this Facebook problem. I think people need to be accepted or to be appreciated. So if you do become an entrepreneur and you create good stuff and people rave about it, that's a great way to get appreciation without having to brag or show off.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's actually interesting, James. I'm just recently finally got around to reading a book about it, known along for a while, and might be one for the listeners to get a hold of, is the Robin Sharma's book. Finally got to read it, the Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, and I think it sort of outlines that basically through a couple hundred pages, and it's definitely some really key points I found. I enjoyed the read, and it's one of those books, as you would know about, it's sold, you know, a few million copies, so it's... Yeah, it definitely covers that, and I find it fascinating. But I sort of feel, I don't know if just because I'm in this space now, but I do feel like there has been a bit of a shift through people's awareness of this now and this work ethic and really getting into the lifestyle. I don't know if it's just because I'm surrounded in by the people I want to be like in that sort of way, or it is a bit of a shift, but I sort of do hope it's the latter and that people are, you know, obviously looking after the health more, eating better, you know, drinking less alcohol sort of thing and really looking after themselves, because I think that's some of the key things that you can do to enjoy more happiness and fulfillment within yourself. So definitely like what you had to say there.
I think there is some more awareness, and certainly I've been pushing it for at least a year now in my own community. So a lot of people resonate with that. I found good support for it. The thing I was most shocked about is that my customers love that I surf. They think it's awesome. And I've at first thought maybe they'll be upset with me for not being on the computer every minute answering every single question. But they actually really like the fact that someone's actually doing things, and they would like to do that too. The other thing that I was pleasantly surprised with, I recently went away on a trip, a mastermind to the Maldives. And there was mostly young people that I was there with in their 20s and 30s, and they were very health and spiritual focused. They were very interested in food and nutrition and looking after themselves, aside from jumping off cliffs with wingsuits and free falling and all this skydiving stuff. But they were actually quite aware and conscious of that, and they had decided to not participate in that Monday to Friday 9 to 5 suit and tie environment. These guys are out there adventuring and living, and they're doing it younger than when I started, and it's great to see that sort of stuff happening in communities. And I think you're right, there is a bit of an awareness, but if I get the chance to stand on the soapbox and question why people really put workaholism on a pedestal, I'll definitely want to take the opportunity to point it out. And I think as things like sleep research emerges and people realize how damaging it is to live like that, I think there will be a reversal.
Yeah, actually, I think I just read a post on sleep bite, and I definitely just making a few changes to myself. I was reading about Arianna Huffington, obviously from the Huffington Post, and she I think she collapsed a couple of 10 years ago or so when she was working these crazy 18-hour days or something. And then she obviously realized she made the change. And now she's got a few things in place of like no technology within her bedroom. She gets a healthy 8 hours sleep. I think within her workspace, I think she has nap rooms for her employees to take a nap rather than go down the store and grab a sugary donut or something to keep them going. So, I really love it. And definitely people listening, really get a hold and look at your diet and what you're drinking. Like myself, actually, I've gone off actually alcohol for 6 months. Not that I was much of a drinker beforehand, but definitely quit that now, and I'm feeling the benefits of it, and the healthy lifestyle for sure. Definitely adopt it, and I think you look at some key figures out there doing really well, like yourself, are definitely adopting that lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of sleep.
Awesome. Well, final question for you, James. If I could give you 30 seconds or 20 or a minute, whatever you got, and this was, you got to say something to the listeners that's going to get them off their couch and get them into the world and playing their best game. And, they're going to look back in 10, 20 years' time and go, that moment of that podcast at that particular time, what he said was what got me into the game. What would you say to these listeners out there?
I'd say there's no holy grail, so stop chasing it. As soon as you're aware of that and you take responsibility for your own success, then go and look in a mirror and just stare at yourself for a little while. That person in the mirror is responsible for everything up to date and in the future. Like, you already have everything you need to be successful. Stop looking outside for it. Stop trying to plug in to someone else and get all the nutrients somewhere else. Stop secretly wishing that you win the lottery ticket, because it's not going to happen. You've got more chance of being struck by lightning twice than winning a major lottery payout. And you don't have the skills to deal with a win anyway until you take responsibility. So it's kind of a bittersweet revelation, and that is that the secret, special, amazing touch of God, answer in a box is not going to drop in your lap. However, you already have everything you need, so that's the good part. And I think as soon as I actually stepped up and stopped deferring everything to someone else or something else, that's when things started to change for me. It's when I realized that, I think it might have even been a Zig Ziglar or a Brian Tracy, I don't know, but it's like a, if it's meant to be, it's up to me type mantra.
Yep.
And that's when, you know, taking ultimate responsibility is when things change.
Love it. Really good. Listeners, take note. Love it. James, for all the people across the globe listening to this, where do they find you? What's the best place to get in contact with you?
Superfastbusiness.com. That's the hub of my main podcast and lots of freebies there and good information where you can find out more about the sort of things I've been talking about.
For sure. And obviously, folks, too, his podcast, Superfast Business, as well. I listen to it regularly and it's fantastic as well. So definitely get a hold of that. James, I really want to acknowledge you, mate, for coming on the show. You're doing incredible stuff, really, I guess, changing people's lives and, like I said, making that transition from where they are to where they want to be. And I really hope you continue to do your amazing work and, you know, so many people are going to be grateful for the amazing stuff you're doing. So definitely keep it going and I'm excited to see what you're doing in the future and we'll definitely have to get you back on here one day.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Thank you for having me on the show.
Appreciate it. So there you have it, folks. Episode 29 with James Schramko. Absolute star and so stoked to be able to bring him to you guys. And if you haven't heard of him, well, now you have. And definitely, you know, jump on his website there, superfastbusiness.com. Check him out. And if you're in that sort of space that you need help in your marketing and business strategies and those sorts of things, definitely get in there and you know, sign up for his stuff. Definitely recommend it. It's some cool stuff and really will help you, and he's an absolute star. So I really hope you enjoyed that and love to hear your feedback, guys. Let me know. You know, jump on my Instagram or Facebook, Elite Team Leadership, and you know, tell me what you think. I've got the post on this of this episode, and you know, make a comment, let me know. And I would really love to, it helps us out a lot, guys, is jumping online to iTunes and giving this podcast a review. You know, love to hear about it. You know, some really great reviews really helps us in future keep this whole show going and taking it to the next level for you guys, which helps us all out. So that would be really appreciative. Love that you guys are here listening. Love that you're taking your game to the new level. Super impressed by each and every one of you, no matter what part of the globe you're from. I'm really excited for you, and I hope that you can apply some of the stuff you've learned in this episode to yourself, take some action, get after it, and really enjoy the process of taking your game to the next level and achieving some more success. So enjoy, have a great week. Got a massive guest on next week, which you're all going to love. Keep an eye out for that one, and we'll chat then.